Hello, welcome back to the Mission Darts podcast. I'm Andy Cornwell. I'm joined here by Matthew Egger, as normal, Matt. And it's episode 30. Blind 30, as they call it.
I don't think you quite had that bingo call aside to that. Like, you've got, well, 3-0, 30.
Oh, I've said this before. You could have definitely been a bingo caller in another life, Matt.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Give me another 1-7, 17. Like, that would appeal to everyone. That voice. Like, look, 1-2, 12. You know, it's quite dull in the fact that it's not going wavy up and down. It's quite seductive for the younger ladies, but yet the older generation will be like, do you know what? That's a really calming voice that I really like that on its own.
It's quite seductive for the younger ladies. I never thought I'd hear that come out of your mouth, Mr. 30, almost 39-year-old Edgar. Anyway, headphones, Matt. I asked last week for help. We got help. Somebody said, in your headphones, there'll be some bigger, whatever you call them, things that go on the end. So I've found the box, and there are. Yeah, there's some, what do they call them? I don't know what, they're little pieces of rubber. Anyway, there's some bigger ones in the box, so I've put them in. Now, positives and negatives. Positives are, I don't think they're going to fall out today. I'm doing my wavy head, and they're stuck in my ear. Negatives are, I can't hear myself speak. Like, You know when you've got a really bad cold and you think, God, my voice sounds terrible. That's what it feels like. I literally can't hear myself speak. So I'm kind of speaking, hoping that my voice, it's really weird. But I think I'll get used to it. I'll get used to it anyway. I will get used to it. So bigger rubber seals, headphones aren't going to fall out. We're all good.
Fascinating.
Yeah, fascinating. Well, do you want to know something else fascinating? Do you know what I bought today? Some spam. Do you like spam?
No, you bought spam.
I bought spam. Do you know what? Like a couple of weeks ago, I had a really bad hangover and I thought, do you know what I need? I need some fried spam. That's what I used to have when I was younger. Fried spam is the cure to all hangovers. Must be the fat content, the meat, I don't know. And I bought some today. I saw some today. It's about £3.50 a tin now. God help us if we go to war again, because that got us through the last war. But, I thought I'm going to buy some. I'm going to put it in the cupboard. I'll probably never eat it, but it's there now for the next hangover if I ever get another one. Maybe I'll stop drinking. What do you think?
I doubt it. I think every time I've been with you, you've had a couple of beers.
Yeah, well, it's got to be done, hasn't it? It's got to be done. But as usual, we're here. A million topics to talk about. I've got pages of comments because our listeners are getting into the comments. And a big shout out, by the way, because we're getting a lot from America who probably right now are going, what's spam?
Yeah.
You know, but we're getting a lot from America, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, loads from Europe. It feels weird when you say that now, like Europe. We're still in Europe because it's a continent. We're just not in European Union. But anyway, I'm totally digressing, going off on one.
Thinking out loud.
which we do on a regular basis. I've got a little bit of a rant to go on. I've had a midlife crisis and been and bought something. I've got that spam to talk about. Apart from spam, no, this is a proper midlife crisis. This is kind of second at my age to going and buying a convertible car. Because that's what you want to do when you're 50. You think, oh, I'll get it. Get a fancy convertible with a roof down and show off to the ladies because I'm still young at heart. No, I haven't done that. But what I have done is I bought a record player and some vinyl and an amplifier and some speakers. Now, as you know, I was a DJ in my former life and I got rid of all my vinyl because CDs came along. And then I got rid of all my CDs because digital came along. And now I'm sick of not owning anything. I'm sick of paying Amazon every month to listen to music that I never own. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to buy a record player. So I have.
Did you make this decision like half 12 at night when you couldn't sleep one evening.
I think I probably did, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like that sort of purchase.
No, I'll tell you what it was. I'll tell you what it was. You know when you've got like, you've got an hour, you can't sleep. Well, we both know what that's like because we don't sleep. But put a documentary channel on and there was a documentary about the vinyl revolution. Apparently it's a big thing now is vinyl. All the young ones are getting into it again. So I start watching this documentary and the more I'm watching it, I'm thinking, yeah, this is better. You buy something, you actually own it. You can keep it. And then you can put it on whenever you want. And then, of course, the next day I go and buy a record player and find speakers. So I don't know whether I'm
too many people in Bolton are going to be pleased with you banging music out on an amplifier.
And you so want me to bite there. I know you want me to bite there again. And I very nearly did. He does this all the time. Those of you that aren't used to him, he always relates me to Bolton and expects me to say, but I don't live in Bolton. And I don't. But I didn't buy it that time. So anyway, headphones are in. Record player's been bought. Spam is in the cupboard. What a way to start the podcast.
It's like 1960 all over again.
If only I'd licked a battery this morning, I'd have the complete set. You know?
Cut the mould off the cheese.
Anyway, lots of love for our little extra podcast we did for Mike Dedeker. A lot of our regulars saying, can we have more of that? Really enjoyed that. Great little 15 minutes insight into Mike Dedeker. So that's gone down well. So had lots of views. Lots of love for Rate My Hockey. And by the time this goes out, by the time this goes out, Rowley's will have been on. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, Matt. I thought I was leaving. I thought it was time to go.
Good episode, that.
Good episode.
I like the fact every episode feels very different as well. Like, I've really enjoyed Rate My Hockey this year. And I think my favourite still episode 2 at the minute. Do you know what, right? I didn't realise until watching this programme back how sarcastic I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah, you are.
And I even said to our video guy, didn't I? I said, have you edited this to make me look sarcastic? Or am I actually...
No, that's just you, Matt. That's just you, mate. That is just you all the time. I mean, I'm sure he loves videoing us because I'm the most sarcastic person and so are you. He must think this is just great. Another day with these two. God help me. But he gets through it and it won't be long till we're filming series 4. I mean, it really won't be long now.
There's a clip, isn't there, on that coming up next where me and you are just dancing on the stairs and he's got it filmed. And it makes me think, like, we think about just the scenes, which we do. How much footage do you think he's got where we're doing something daft?
Oh, plenty. Plenty. Yeah, there must be lots of unseen. Maybe he's saving them all for a bit of a outtakes at the end of the series or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, we're 10 minutes in, and I've not even mentioned last weekend, Matt, and everybody will be now going, Andy, tell us how you went on. How did you go on in your first tournament in 10 years?
Oh, yeah, that's the priority. The UK Open last weekend. The priority
no,
is
nobody's, a, nobody's interested in the UK Open. They want to know, can Cornwall still play? And the answer is no. I got beat 3-0. I can score, but I can't finish. But I've mentioned it, Matt. Because you were quite kind and you were quite caring and I'm not used to it. Mm-hmm. And you text me to say, don't worry about it, mate. You're just a bit rusty and, you know, you shouldn't expect so much yourself. And I was like, I had to check the phone 3 times. This can't be Matt. Like, Jody must have got hold of his phone or something because there's no way I'm getting any sympathy from you. Anyway, I did. I got a bit of sympathy. Scored great. Couldn't finish. Not going to dwell on it. Went out first round at, well, last 16 on finals night. So that's my darts well and truly away until the Cornwall v. Edgar happens, and then I'll get them out for 5 minutes. That'll be enough to beat you. So that's it now. No more darts for me. And it made me think, Matt, and I think you've touched on this a little bit. I know you've put your darts away. It's the first time I've really gone for anything in about 10 years. And I did put some practice in. And I felt worse than if I hadn't put any practice in and still lost 3-0. I would, on that, I would have just been like, oh, well, I don't play anymore. Like I've been doing, I don't play anymore. I've got beat. Who cares? Because I put the practice in, because I thought, do you know what? Maybe I can still do it. And got 180, 177. And I got excited. And then I got beat. I was way more upset. Way more upset.
Why do you think I didn't play again after that tournament I played and averaged 91?
Exactly. Well, like, well, you could have told me. You could have told me to stop wasting my time.
Yeah. The second I played that tournament and averaged 91 for the day with a new grip, I was like, oh God, this is like really encouraging. Like, and yeah, then yeah, we had conversations, didn't we? I'm like, Andy, I think I'm going to go to Q school. It was like,
no,
and,
yeah.
It's and then it's like, yeah, just reel yourself back, because the nerve's not going to automatically fix itself overnight. You're going to have issues, and you're certainly going to be highlighting them when you try that sort of thing. So it's like, just stick to the day job.
Oh, don't get silly. Back in the drawer.
Yeah. That's, I've not got them out since that day. They've not come out since that day.
No, mine won't be coming out either. Not a chance. Anyway, somebody's darts did come out of his drawer. The old black ones came back out, and a certain person won the tournament with them. How about that?
Hmm.
We told him his gold darts are no good. So he's clearly listening. Gets the black ones back out, wins the tournament. Could have gone out. Did I right in thinking somebody had a match start to beat him? He won 10-9 one of the early rounds.
I didn't see all of the UK Open. I've all this.
Somebody had a match start. I'm sure they did.
Did Johnny Clayton?
Could have been. Anyway, don't matter. We don't talk about darts much on this podcast anyway. But yeah, he did it again. And do you know what, Matt? I did watch. I watched a lot of it. It was on at weekend. I didn't have my daughter. I watched a fair bit of it. And over the, I said this 2 months ago, over the longer format, he won't get beat. He won't get beat. This year, any tournament, longer format, I'll call it right now, World Match Play, World Championship, even the Grand Prix, he'll win them. He'll win them. He can't be beaten over a longer format.
Remember our deal we made with our viewers? If the two Lukes do not win the match play, we will do a full run Tom Daly into the sea.
Yeah, we will. And I'm still quite happy to. There's nobody beating him over a longer format. He just has those spells where he's unbeatable. It's as simple as that. Now, yeah, I was going to say there, Wade didn't look himself in the final. It'd been a long day. He's not a kid anymore. We've talked about stamina in the past, Matt, you and I. Talked about how important that is now on these days where you've potentially got long games. Stamina, you've got to eat right. You've got to be ready. You know, you've got to be hydrated. Little looked like he could have gone and played another two games. No problem. Wade looked like he was done. He was done. He but again, we've spoke about this at the start of the year. Will Wade win another major? And I said, definitely not. And I think you said, maybe. You wouldn't like to say never.
Contender, yeah.
It'll be contender. So the fact he's made a final, you're the Stato man. Has that done his ranking a massive favour, or was he defending?
He's in the top 16 comfortably now by the looks of it.
Okay. So yeah, he's, you know, I wouldn't have picked him at the start, but there he is again. But yeah, there's nobody beating Littler over the longer format. Just not happening. These Premier Leagues, he'll get beat. He'll get beat best of 11s. He'll get beat in the players where it's best of 11. What would be the next tournament? Because in my head, it feels like the World Cup in June. Is there something in between?
No, not the next ranking tournament's match play, isn't it?
Yeah, July. So it's all Euros and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Between now and then. But so I just, you know, anybody expecting him to win everything, he won't. That's impossible. There's way more now. But you'd be a brave man, a very brave man, to say he won't win match play, Grand Slam maybe, that's longer format, World Championship. Because longer format is amazing. Anyway, that's way too much time talking about Littler with his black darts. We know he's good. He couldn't beat you on double 16. We know that because he's rubbish at double 16. So, little rant from Andy. You know, I spoke about this before, and we've done a video on it, Matt. A very popular video about footwear. How popular was that video? So many people saying it's such a simple thing that I'd never thought about. Practicing in my slippers, playing in my trainers. Never thought about the difference. Simon Whitlock posting videos, practicing with his son, wearing flip-flops. Practicing. Not just messing about, practicing in his flip-flops. Have a look next time you see Simon Whitlock. He has got the biggest sole trainers, way bigger than the ones I used in the video. They've got massive soles on them. Practicing in your flip-flops, playing in massive sole trainers. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those when you look at the difference between if you move the board by that much, that's the real standout. I mean, I like a little bit of mastery in there, but the thing is as well, like, it's one of those balances of fluency in the mastery style. So, yeah, if the difference is too, but in the video, that was quite a giant difference, wasn't it, in regards to the sole that he was using. So,
And the people that are loving the videos that we're doing currently, Matt, we've had a lot of love for the videos currently, should be pleased to know that by the time this goes out, in a couple of days' time, we're going to film a load more. Oh, no, say that again. We're going to film a load more, aren't we? Some interesting topics.
You know, yeah, we're going to be filming... Yeah, after this one. Yeah,
after this goes out, about 8 or 10 new videos, a couple of shorts, things like that. Lots and lots of interesting stuff to do coming up. A lot of prep on this one. Some props. We're using some props on this one. You know what they are.
I think the thing to put into this is, like, I've reviewed the channel extensively. I've been watching the videos back. I've been watching them all. You'll notice changes in Rank My Hockey, where we've changed them editorially. Things like coming up next week, coming up in this episode. The endings have changed, so the quicker and the snappier. It goes straight to the leaderboard. You'll notice little things telling you what's coming up next, so you know the flow of the content. So... we're doing the same with our videos. You may notice now the videos are taken in different scenes, they're in different shots. There's different drops to them. We're looking at not just making good content, but how we can make it more visually pleasing as well. And that's what we've been looking at over the last sort of couple of weeks. And hopefully this next wave of videos, you're going to see a little bit more involvement in those videos as well. So instead of us shooting 15 videos in a filming session, we're going to drop it to film 8 videos or 10 videos and then work on those videos to make them even better. So we're always looking at improving what we're doing here now. We've kind of got ourselves a bit of a good base, and now it's about making sure that we value that time invested into the channel, because there's a lot of time invested. We see the watch minutes that people are putting in. There's a heavy investment of time.
And not only that, the comments, Matt, I know I mention it a lot, but, you know, obviously we enjoy the love. People saying, look, it's great. It's best podcast ever. It's this, that, and the other. Great. Fantastic. But the actual interaction, I read every comment, takes me a lot of time. You know, we're putting out 3 videos a week plus a podcast. There's a lot of comments, and people are engaging with everything we're doing. And then other people are engaging with what they're saying. You know, it's we're building a community here of people that are joining in, that are enjoying the content, that are enjoying the fact that we're helping them. And they're asking for more and more stuff. And then they're saying, oh, you talked about, or, oh, you made a video what I asked about. And, well, yeah, if we see an idea that you've put in the comments, if it doesn't win comment of the week, that is, and we think, yeah, do you know what? We can do that. That'll be a good video. We'll go and do it, Matt, won't we? You know, we're not,
you know what?
We're not so perfect that we go, oh, this is our list and we're not going to change it. We do what people want.
The list changes daily in what we're going to shoot. Like, there's a content guideline and a content framework. But the framework is what it is. It's framework. You don't. It's not rigid. It's not set. It's skeleton. It doesn't have the muscle, and that's what we add as we go. Now, what I'd like to say though is I do read the comments as much as I can. And do you know one thing we've got here at Mission right now? We've got no bell cheesers at the minute, which is great. Like. Normally, like whenever you do anything like what we're doing here, you'll get some idiots come along and who either don't understand what it is or who always look for something wrong with things, and we'll just, you know, focus on those. And do you know what, right? Here's something I've learned. And I think was it Einstein who said this? And he says, it doesn't matter how much you get right, people only remember what you get wrong. And it said something about a maths lesson it was or something. He'd come up in class and he started reading off the answers, and he got so many right and he got one wrong and everyone laughed. And it was like, didn't matter how many I got right, people still pointed out the one you did wrong. And do you know what? Whenever you do sort of work in like the line of work that I do now, you see it more than ever. And do you know where you really see it? Like predictions. So I did predictions for the World Championships. My strike rate was something like 82%. It's incredible. So I use a site that I put my tips on, which is just like a free-to-play site. Like, it's a pretend site where you put fantasy bets on, sort of thing. And I put it on there. And because I do that, I can see my LSP, level stakes profit. My level stakes profit was like £14 something. So every pound, if you followed every single one of my predictions, every pound you put on, you'd have made £14, like 82 or whatever it was, for every pound you put on.
Which is £10 on, it'd be £140. I get it.
Every single one of mine bets with level stakes. And do you know what? Out of the 82% I got right, I can count maybe one or two messages where people get hold of you and go, Good prediction. Never happened. Never happens. I predicted Andrew Gilding to win the UK Open a few years ago as outsiders. I did five outsiders this year. I got a semi-finalist. I did outsiders. And I got a semi-finalist from outsiders. And still, like, people
are... You got stick.
And it's like, they're outsiders. Like, they're 500 to 1. Like, yeah, there's some of them, like... the one I got right, was Josh Drog, 33-1. Like, it was closer to the front of it. But it's not like you go, you got that wrong. Look, there's 3 500-1 shots in there. It's like, no. And the thing is, it's only about getting people to, you know, it's only about outsiders that could give you some interest to follow.
I've got a good bet for you, Matt. England to win the World Cup this year, as in. Darts, World Cup of Darts. I quite fancy the two, Lukes. What do you think? I'll tell you what, you can have every other country and I'll have England.
1-4, they'll be.
Is that what it is? Yeah.
It's not what it is. It's what I think it'll be. My predicted odds.
Yeah, I mean, how they get beat. Unless they get beat early, you know, is it still double? It's doubles format, isn't it, early?
Yeah.
It's all doubles now, isn't it? Yeah, maybe they can't play together as doubles. Ooh, now you haven't thought of that. Littler likes double 10. Humphreys likes 16s and 18s. Could be a conflict.
I don't think it'll matter.
I'm just trying to build it up a little bit there, Edgar. Could have joined in just for a minute.
What's the point? Move on. What's the point? I don't know anyone's bothering with it. They're only playing for, like, it's Taylor days, isn't it? Play for second place. Hope you're in the other
outsiders. Outsiders, Belgium. Who will be my Dedekas partner?
Dimitri.
Of course.
How did you not?
Do you know? I don't know. In my head, I had Kim Ibrox and thinking.
I'll tell you what, right? Here's an idea. As we've got like 2.5 months to go before the World Cup, why don't we just park that for now and go on with something a bit more relevant?
Yeah, but it's nice to do something 5 months in advance. Why not? As opposed to 5 minutes. Anyway, there you go. There's my outside pick for the World Cup, Belgium. We'll never find this episode ever again, so it doesn't matter. Anyway, if you think I look a bit grey, I noticed last week, even though I've got the light in the background, which is, by the way, it's evening and the sun's belting through. Summer's on the way, guys. Fantastic. Those of you watching in Florida right now, yes, we're jealous. Summer all the time there. White light. You said to me last week about a white light, so I've ordered a white light. So next week, we should have a light, which I won't be able to use. Can you imagine? I'm going to get a piece of tech. I won't know what to do with it, and I'm going to ask Edgar.
You just get a USB one. Just plug it in.
Yeah, I know. I haven't got a spare USB socket left on my thing. I'm just looking because I've got my microphone plugged in. I've got my camera plugged into it. I've got my... Oh, I could take my printer out and put that in. Yeah, okay. Got one of them extended.
Why are the printer? Was it 1996?
Mate, I've just been buying vinyl, right? So, you know, like... Oh, do you know how much... Right, you're never going to get this. You're never... Right, how much, Matt, is a new LP now? Which is what we used to call them, isn't it, LPs? So you want to go and buy, I don't know, I like... Bands that you like. I like Radiohead, something like that.
Does it have to be to the pound?
No, no, you're guessing. So okay. I'm gonna go and buy a Radiohead LP.
$12.99.
Okay, keep going.
$24.99.
Keep going.
More than 20.
They're £29.50 for an album. One album. A CD, $6.99. Same thing.
Do you know what? If you got a CD and an LP and put them back on the shelves, you've nearly got enough money to go get yourself a new set of the Matthew Edgar Mission darts available in 21, 23, and 25 gram darts.
Is there any in stock? Because none of my darts is stock, but they're all out. Mission Precision darts, we haven't got a single one. I think Edgar darts is the same. We're waiting for them to come in. And do you know... You do this every week. You lead me like the best segue ever, and you've just done it.
Go on, then.
There's no precision darts. There's no Edgar darts. And do you know why? And here it is. Here's my big announcement for the week. There's a shortage of tungsten.
Mm.
Deadly serious. The tungsten comes from China. I don't know whether it's the Chinese government have got involved or, well, it will be. They've got involved, and now when our manufacturers make darts, they have to have it signed off. They have to have special exemptions to send it outside of China. It's no longer put them in a box, ship them to the UK. It's now, well, where are they going? Why? What are they? And now it is illegal to ship tungsten that's not been made into something out of China, because China's got a massive shortage of tungsten, and it's obviously not just used for darts. Used in a million things is tungsten.
So this is going to drive prices up massively, isn't it?
So I'm a bit worried. I think it could drive prices up. I think there could be problems. Because, you know, I'm sure you'll be aware, if we want a Matthew Edgar dart, we'll buy 500 sets or 1,000 sets.
Yeah.
And that takes 2 to 3 months. So you're always working, because it's got to come on a boat and it's got to be shipped halfway around the world. So you're always working 2 or 3 months in advance. So
I'm literally just looking now to see if there's any available.
Yeah. So what happens if that shipment get stopped or delayed, or you could potentially be out of stock of things? So here's my tip, guys. If you're thinking, I need a new set of darts in the next, and this isn't a sales pitch because buy them wherever you want, as long as they're mission, of course. Make sure you get the mission darts. Available, great stockists worldwide. So get, if you're thinking, I need a new set of my existing ones, or, oh, I fancy trying them new lava darts, or, oh, I do fancy a set of Edgar darts, or whatever it is, I would buy them now rather than think, oh, I'll wait till the summer. Because I'm not saying there is going to be a problem. Well, there's already a problem. It's the reason why my precision darts haven't arrived. But how bad that problem gets, there was a problem last year or the year before, Matt, with shipping. Container prices went, there was a problem in one of the shipping lanes. Containers got stuck. And
pirates, weren't it? Pirates kept stealing them.
I'm not sure. And then there was no containers in China. So if you were in China and you wanted to ship some stuff in a container, there were no containers.
I think, if I remember right, the original batch of Luke Littler darts got stolen by pirates.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, right. Shipping, the cost of containers went fivefold and nobody could afford to use them anymore until it all got sorted out. And that was a big problem. It's all sort of stuff that people don't know goes on. But the latest one is tungsten. Obviously, you can't make darts out of anything else. So
brass. But anyway, I'm going to give you a story. Imagine you're on the seas. You're a pirate. You've took over this boat. You've stolen it. We got 5,000 sets of darts. Brilliant.
Yeah. As you get on stage, you get a load of food, you get a load of electronics, laptops, computers. No, mate, I've got 5,000 sets of Matthew Edgar darts. Right, you're sacked.
Locked, and on here, there is actually, I found 151 sets of Matthew Edgar darts available. 23 grams is not many available, though. 23 grams seems really popular.
Is that your weight?
It used to be. I've been doing more 21, but I'm thinking about having a tinker back at the 23.
Well, it's usually because we do them in three weights, people will go for the middle one.
Yeah.
So the 23 will be be the first one to go. So there's not a lot of that left. Anyway, should we move on to some comments now that we've depressed everybody with the fact that there might not be any darts available? Oh, do you know what? I've printed this off way too small. I'm going to put my – I really am shot. Look at these. Oh, my God. Yeah, I know. Yeah, those of you that are listening, thank God you are, because I've just had to put some glasses on. Okay, so a few comments here. And the first one's from Jay Rodsley. He's saying, I'm loving the series, finally trying to learn darts for the first time after watching it for almost 20 years here in the USA. I'm finding these videos very easy to follow in my help to attempt to learn this spot. And I just wanted to read that out because when I've looked at the stats, more and more watching from America. Now it's a big place. It's a huge place. So if you are out there, please do spread the word for us. Love this next one. So this is in relation to our video about things not to do. And I think we talk about, don't just go and buy a new set all the time and stuff.
Yeah.
Tasmanian Truther has put, darts are like fishing lures. They're made to catch the fisherman, not the fish. Oh, are you all right there? He's just had to do some stretching. And somebody's replied, that's a good analogy. I really like that, and that nearly got comment of the week. It's absolutely true. The darts that are made to catch the fishermen, not to catch the fish. Do you get that?
Yeah.
So they're made for us to buy them rather than are they really any good to use? So, okay, Paul Boardman, 247. I love the term, all the gear, no idea. I have a friend who will regularly go out and spend £100 on a new set of darts because that's what the guys on TV are playing with. But he's just as bad with a 30 quid set. I can't get him to stop because he always says this set might be the one.
Well, I know just the one. If you want to get a look at the Matthew Edgar darts, whether in 21, 23 and 25 grams, they're a good set. You know, they could be the ones.
They could be the ones.
You just have to make sure you order one in each weight just in case.
those of you that are avid watchers of the channel and watch our shorts and everything, I put a reference to a short that we did at Darts GB, if you remember. The person who goes in the dart shop every week buys a new set and says, these are the ones. I think you did a great job of that, Matt. Okay. Daniel Allman has said, I enjoy the channel. Always great ideas. If I'm having an off day, less than an average practice session, I find myself over practicing because I want to win the drill or get it right. And sometimes I correct it, but more often than not, I'm creating bad habits or poor form. I would be interested to hear thoughts on when to do a different drill or when to stick with the drill or when to call it quits for the day and pick it up tomorrow. I wanted your input on this, Matt. So what he's basically saying is I'm into a practice session. All of a sudden it starts going wrong. I can't hit anything. Do I keep trying harder? Do I change drill? Or do I put my darts down and come back another day? What's your advice?
There's a lot to unpack there. This is where like one-to-one coaching is vital for things like this, because there's a lot of misunderstanding here. So first of all, when we take a look at how do I know when to stop a drill? You should have won or lost the drill. Well, why are you still doing it unguided? It's an unguided drill. So think about if you go in your car and you're going to go on a drive somewhere. You know where you're starting, that's your house in your car. You know where you're finishing, that's Tesco's, Anti-Maureen's, wherever you're going. When do you ever not get there? Always get to where you're going. Whether you need to stop at the petrol garage to get more fuel because you haven't got enough fuel, whether you need the AA to help you out because you've broken down, whatever the barriers are, you'll always end up where you're meant to go. So same thing again here. You need to know where
you go to the wrong Tesco in Liverpool as opposed to the one in Warrington.
But I know what you're saying there. And I went to the wrong halfway house, but I still ended up at the right halfway house.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
So I got there. It was just a long way around it. So to start with, there's no destination to the practice. That's the first problem. The second thing is there's no restriction on the practice. You're going to do it till you hit. So with that, when you look at what you're doing, there's no time barrier. There's no opponent. There's no restriction of throw. It literally is you're going to keep doing it until you hit. Now, all you're ever going to notice there is what you don't hit, and ultimately all you're doing is just delaying success, because you're going to get success, because there's no way you're not going to get success, because you're going to keep doing the drill till you get success. So it's just delayed success. And you don't want delayed success, because when you play a game of darts, you don't have delayed success. What you have is you have a game against somebody, and they control the time. They control how many visits you get, not you no more. So what happens there? Performance anxiety starts to kick in, because you're not playing the way you're practicing. So because you've got that conflict, what happens is you get nervous when you play, and we need to sort that. Now, the other thing that comes out of that to unpack is the need of, if there's a problem, like if I miss double 16 in a match and then you focus purely on hitting double 16 for the next week, again, that's not that, because what you're doing is that you're fueling and feeding a problem. And if you fuel and feed a problem, all you're doing is you're focusing on the problem, not the solution to the problem. And if you literally put all your efforts into the problem, it's only going to become a bigger problem. Think of it as a fire. So the fire starts, it's just a little flame to begin with. And then when you start doing that, all you're doing is you're growing and growing the fire. You're not putting it out. So
let me put something to you then, Matt, because I've heard this asked a lot. And again, I'm not going to say, again, you need coaching to get through something like that. But I'll give you my take on something. You give me yours. Perhaps she's practicing checkouts. So he's thinking, right, I'm going to spend the next half an hour and I'm going to go start at 61 and I'm going to go up and I'm going to practice my checkouts. And let's say he's a pretty decent player. So he's 61's a, you'd expect to get that in two or three goes. Let's say he gets up to 68 and he cannot hit 68 He's had 3 darts, 6 darts, 9 darts. 5 minutes later, he's still on 68. Would you then go, right, I'm skipping 68. I'm going to go to 69. Would you go, I'm going to go a different way on 68. So I'm going to try something different. Or would you go, do you know what? Maybe I'll put my darts down, go and have a brew, and come back and start again on 68. What would be your simple answer? Because there'll be a lot of people now listening to this going, oh, this is me. This is me. I get stuck on so I like this routine, but I get stuck. What should I be doing?
Well, the first thing is you don't leave that. You've set your boundary out. You've got your 30 minutes. That's your time. You can't change your time just because you start missing. So you can't walk away from it, because in a game, first to five, you're 3-0 down, it's not going well, you can't walk away. So why train in a way that you're not going to be able to play? And this is the other thing to get right as well, like with the timing. And this is where I say coaching is vital, because if you're going to do a 100-meter sprint, you don't need to train for a marathon. If you're going to do a marathon, you don't train sprints, you know. So it just, but they're both, you're running on both of them, you're running or jogging. It looks the same, but you're not doing the same thing. This is the understanding of activity and understanding of task that people need to get. The next thing I'd say is, if you're doing that and after 5 minutes, you're still throwing at 68 and missing it, you have not trained correctly. Because if you're not being successful on a task, you shouldn't be doing the same task, because you're failing. You don't train within failure.
Yeah.
So, and then you go, should I change target? Well, we're fueling the problem. Are you going to change? Are you going to get to the match and go, actually, today I just feel like I'm treble 16, actually? No, you're going to stay on treble 20. So you need to practice the way you'd play. So a checkout is a phase of play. If we look at what different drills are, so we've got different types of drill, isolated drill, all different. I'm not going to go into all of them, but a phase of play. By that, what it means is, if you're not throwing directly into a target, you're playing a pattern of the match. Football, a phase of play. Right, what we're going to do, we're going to look at the final third today. So instead of just doing a shooting drill now, what we're going to do, we're going to put a final third in. We're going to start from here. We're going to put the defenders in. Phase of play, we're going to have two midfielders coming in from here. And you set it up and you play it. This is a phase of play in the fact that all we're going to be looking at is that checkout, which is a pattern, a combination finish. And if you're getting it wrong, it needs to change. Needs to change.
And this is... Well, I was going to say, this is why you and I are advocates. When we do practice routines, we've done plenty on the channel. We talk about 3 goes at something. If you hit it, you move on. If you miss, you go back. So there's a win and a lose on everything. It's not, oh, I'm just going to keep throwing until I hit it. That's pointless.
So yeah. I'm going to give you a drill then. How we're going to do this now. So vary this up to your level. So how this is going to work. You get 5 lives to take out the shot. If you can't take the shot out in 5 lives, you're going to drop back one number. Now, there's an extra bit of game in here as well. If you do not leave a double, you drop back, regardless how many lives you got. If you've got 5 lives and you don't leave a double, back to 67. If you lose 5 lives, back to 66. Don't leave a double, drop back. For some of you, right, we're going to get this even harder for a higher level, differentiation practice. So for some of you now, if you think you're a quality player, you think I can do that easy, you get 3 lives on each one. And if you don't leave a double, you go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
You go back to 61. Have a go at those two. See how we get on.
I agree. Brilliant.
Differentiation Super. Practice.
Superb, Matt. Love it. Right. I've got more comments to do, but right in the middle this week, I'm going to do comment of the week. As we know, we have comment of the week now. I'm not going to do it every week if the comments are rubbish, but if we get some good comments, I'm going to pick a comment of the week, send you some goodies. So if this is you, Danny LMER8706, if that's you, drop me a message at youtube@missiondarts.com. I'll send you some goodies. Comment of the week. It's not always a great question. It's not always a great statement. It's sometimes just something that makes me laugh. And this made me laugh. Why has nobody realized yet that Chris Mason has casually time traveled, used his DNA in a lab to create Chris Mason, aka Jeffrey DeGraff? Have a look at them side by side. Have a look at them side by side. It's a young Chris Mason. It is brilliant. I love that. It made me laugh. Danny L M E R. You won yourself some goodies. Are you not seeing it? No. Lookalikes. You're not seeing it at all?
No.
Right, okay. Well, I did. I saw it. And I'm sure Chris will be flattered. Because I think Jeffrey's in his 20s, isn't he? So anyway, that made me laugh. Therefore, he's having a do. And Edgar's got his puzzled look on. So I'll move on. Two, Shelty 5-6-AA. Question for you, Matt. Do you think walk-ons should now be a certain time frame? I.e., James Wade was taking way too long with his walk-ons on Sunday. Should there be a time limit?
Walk-ons need work. Everybody. Stop the stupid karaoke, arms to the side. Stop signing autographs. Stop singing. Do you know what? I was walking back from the gym to do this podcast. Because I go down to the gym even when I'm in Portsmouth at the minute. Got to beef up a bit, you know. And do you know what? I had my headphones on. And I was walking along, I had a song on the play. And I'm like... And then when it came to the drop, like, I almost felt like going... Like, with my arms, like, through. And do you know what? Again, it made me think. Because I was thinking about these walk-ons and things that people are doing within darts. I never switch off. And with that, do you know all these, oh, what a big moment, what a great walk-on, what all this sort of thing is? Do you know what? I thought, like, I genuinely think now that the players think by doing this with the drop, that they're going to get the reaction, and the reaction lies on them. And do you know what? I thought about this with a drop, and I thought about thinking about, like, what would this look like with 4,000 people? And I thought, we have that. Go to the nightclub. Go anywhere. And when that drop comes, everyone does the same. Do you know what, right? What about, you know, the a day go for strings, you know, where everyone stands with their arms out, the old Ibiza, you know, their arms out like that.
I can't believe that I've just heard you use the term the drop about five times. You're okay. Nearly 40, Edgar. You're nearly 40. Your nightclub days are behind you. You're not waiting for the only drop you're waiting for is your Deliveroo being dropped off. That's right. There's no drop in your
everyone mind. Stood there, right? Arms out, like just feeling the vibe, right? They're there. Right. Now, if James Wade decides to walk onto that song and he stands there with his arms up like this, wouldn't everyone be doing that anyway?
Yeah. Of course they are.
So again,
so what if he goes on stage and they're all ready to do it anyway. It doesn't mean he's not orchestrating them. He's not the conductor. They're doing it. Mr. Brightside, they're all going mental. It's nothing to do with Nathan.
But I think this is coming down to the fact that when I genuinely think here, what we're seeing is people believing that they have to do it to have the impact. I don't think they're realizing that they're not over. The song is. The pop isn't them. The pop's not them. That pop, the way, hey, it's not I'm popping for Nathan Aspinall. It's the pop for the drop.
Exactly. Unbelievable. Anyway, you've said drop far too many times. I've got one controversial one I'm going to get to in a minute. Pilgrim Darts has said, first time watching Rate My Hockey. Now I need to watch all the old ones. It's the top gear of darts. Good luck watching the old ones. There's plenty to go at. Daniel Baker, had the pleasure of meeting Andy this week for a darts fitting. What an improvement. Blah, blah, blah. He got crypt darts. Hit 180 within 10 minutes arriving home, blah, blah, blah. But then the very end, it says, I'm genuinely glad I visited as I feel I'm playing at another level now. I reckon I could beat that Edgar bloke easy.
Most people could, yeah.
What a good answer. Right. This is in relation to last week's podcast, SWJ. What a great little handle, that's SWJ. Nice. I can just imagine, this is in relation, Matt, to you talking about having £1 million to go and hide. You remember that conversation?
Yeah, great question. Yeah.
Great question. I can just imagine a disfigured version of Edgar limping around the Midlands with a face full of cheap fillers after spending the other 990 grand on wrestling memorabilia and ambience enhancers. Even so, you'd be a brave man to back against such a maverick. He could yet go undetected, even in his local area, just like Harrison Ford in The Fugitive, where he dyes his hair half a shade darker and shaves his beard. Completely foolproof. I thought that was great. The picture of a disfigured Edgar.
Put this forward, right? Someone put this forward. And they said, but Matt, surely the person who did the plastic surgery would know who you are. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I agree. That person will know. However, I've now got to evade one person. I don't have to evade the rest of the world. I've narrowed it down from billions to one.
Very good. Anyway, moving on from Matt's plastic surgery, it's my controversial statement of the week that I want to finish on. And Mucha 9935 is replying to the pros and cons of Molded v Folded, one of our most popular videos. 50-50 split, totally, Matt. Some people have been folded, molded. Some have gone back to one, gone back to the other. Brilliant video. If you haven't seen it already, check it out on the main channel. Mucha9935 has said, it's not the flights. Bounce outs are due to the boards, not the flights. And I thought that would be a good topic to finish on, because I don't really think bounce outs have been a board thing. Well, bounce outs haven't been a board problem for 15 years.
Like I said in that video, I cover thousands of games of darts.
Yeah.
I do see it, obviously. You know,
it still happens. It does still happen. Darts,
but the majority of time, any sort of bounce out doesn't even come just from directly hitting a wire. What tends to it comes from is when you hit the fly and they lose the pace of the dart.
Loses the momentum, yeah.
Yeah, that's what causes the bounce out, or it changes the angle. So instead of hitting a wire square on where it'll flex and move, you're hitting down on the wire or up on the wire. So you're hitting into it, and that will come from hitting the fly.
I agree. Now, I have seen occasions, as I think it's quite a good topic to finish on, I've seen occasions, you've seen it as well, Gary Anderson famously hitting a 180 where they all three fell out.
Yeah.
That's not that long ago. Where potentially the board has a hard spot. Now, I am not going to say this is certainly not exclusive to any brand of board. It's simply you're using a natural material, a process that involves glue, to make a dartboard. I've seen several different brands of dartboard that have had what I call a hard spot. Now, you will also get the opposite, where a board has been overused in a certain area, and that's now become a soft spot, where the point will go in, but nothing to grab and falls out. And I think that's coming up in a future Rate My Hockey, I seem to remember, when we look at board. If you can remember the one that I'm thinking of. But so what other reasons, if we're saying, I know you said that molded flights, they deflect more. I argued against it, and potentially it loses the momentum, hits the wire at a funny angle, drops out. I've just said Gary Anderson, maybe it was a hard spot. 3 points went in. They all fell out. All the darts fall out. Can we think of any other reasons? The wire, can you still hit a wire bang on and it pops out? Is that possible with the blade wires? Do you see it in commentary, Matt?
Occasionally.
Occasionally. I mean, those wires are so, they're so, I don't even know what they must be.
You have to hit them square. You have to hit them square, but it does happen. But like I said, the majority will come from catching the flight on the way in. It changes the moment. Kills and the space.
This led me on to, again, a question that you're the best of us to answer from what your commentary. You land your darts flat.
Yeah.
I land my darts pitched up. We know, I think most viewers and listeners know the difference between the two. So Matt lands his darts like Phil Taylor-esque, and I land mine like Adrian Lewis, if that makes sense to people listening.
That's the only time we're going to be compared to them two.
It is, yeah, it is, yeah. Or in the same sentence, or even in the same podcast. Of the players you've watched over the years, which style of those two leads to more darts on the floor than the other, or is there not one? I think that's a great question to ask you to finish with.
I think it comes down to people that can't control their darts rather than people that can. So if you're getting a consistent flat, you've got control. If you're getting a consistent upright, you're getting control. The ones are the ones that have a dart that faces like this, one that kicks out to the side, so the point comes across that way. People that don't have control over their release and the dart, they're the people that are more prone to it, because when it comes out the hand and it's going to kick out to the right, if that hits and that flips it even further round, it's just going to hit the ball side on. So I would say it's not someone who's got control of the dart, it's someone who hasn't got control. And by that, I mean purely how the dart flies and how it lands in the board. Because what we tend to get is everyone focuses on, where is it landing? Am I hitting treble 20s? Am I hitting big scores? It's the only thing people focus on. But actually, they might be doing it, but it's going to run dry because the darts are kicking all over the place. Concentrate on how the darts fly and they land, then worry about where they land. How all first? Right.
I've got one final thing to add to that, in that for many years, I used if I say razor edge, sharp grip, there's lots of terms used for a type of dart where it's hard to describe it now. It's very, very grippy because of the cut in the dart. They call it razor grip. They call it sharp grip. There's razor edge, things like that. I used a dart like that. I found that if I wasn't throwing properly, the point, because of the way a razor grip is, the point could actually hit the grip of the barrel in the board already and bounce out. So I think there's an extra layer of potentially different, and something we'll probably have to do a video on, but potentially fancy grips or grips with barrels with lots of grip could be costing you either bounce outs or deflections when the point hits them. Again, I want to go on about, I am convinced that long points cause more dropouts than short points. But that's a question for another day, not for the end of the podcast. You've yawned twice now, Matt. It's clearly your bedtime. Yeah. It's clearly your bedtime. You're not looking as tired as you did the other week. You're looking like you've had a bit of sleep, probably had 3 hours. But I think that's one for another time. Do long points cause more dropouts than short points? Get in the comments below, as we say. Let us know. Have you experimented with both and gone back to one or gone back to the other because you had too many darts on the floor? The last thing you want is darts on the floor, Matt. The game's hard enough. And that's my point. I thought I'd lost you for a minute there, but you were just taking it all in. Matt was deep in thought then with something that I'd said, it was philosophy. He was working it all out.
Like you're telling me something rather than asking me something.
Yeah, but I finished telling you.
Brilliant. And so is this podcast finished for another week. So we'll catch it again next week when we're going to...
For another one.
Where we'll review the comments from Andy's little... Wigan rant.
And I'll let you know if I've opened the tin of spam.